mic. I can see the little icon on the screen. No audio.
You couldn't hear any of that?
No.
Oh, we all said hello.
Oh, well, somehow your mic...
We thought you were hearing us.
No, somehow your mic got muted.
Did you say muted?
Muted. Kind of like mutant.
Mike!
Welcome to week 851 of the Crankcast. Never a dull moment.
I don't think that's true.
Y'all said never?
Oh, okay. Often a dull moment.
Frequently.
Frequently dull.
You know, I mean, sure, it's dull, but it's also not very interesting.
All right. Here's the kind of thing I need to negotiate on the Crankcast.
Okay.
Sean, you've got cans of Diet Coke. And I've got a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke. I can't drink a whole 2-liter bottle. I trade one of my 2-liter bottles for one of your cans.
That doesn't seem... Why would you do that?
I don't want a whole bottle, I just want a can.
You don't drink the whole bottle at one time.
But if you don't, that's crappy. Yeah, like, you're going to have a second day old bottle of Diet Coke?
You can't put it in a 12.
But then why do I put the rest of it? Put it in the fridge? And then drink it when? The next day?
Yeah.
No! That's horrible Coke.
I'm not sure if you're willing to give away the rest of the bottle anyway. Why not just drink what you want out of it and discard the rest?
You can just have a can. I would totally do that, except I thought maybe somebody else would want the rest of it. Okay. And make better use of it.
Oh.
How big is the bottle?
Oh, this, is it this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that. Alright.
So, and one of the more interesting things on the Crankcast, we've brokered a deal.
What the fuck?
It's the negotiation cast.
This is like Deal or No Deal, if, you know, it was even worse.
Do you want what's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the box? What's in the box?
So,
you all know the right solution to the Mike Hall problem, right?
Is Monty Hall? He's dead. He's not a problem.
That was the solution.
Death. The final solution.
The final solution. Okay, what is it now?
Who are you talking about?
You switch.
What?
You switch. Like, there's in the Monty. Do you guys know the Monty Hall problem?
That's the Deal or No Deal?
Yeah, like, so you have three rooms, right? And one of them, wait, no. Now I'm going to get this all screwed up.
Are you talking about the lady and the tiger?
And one of them is a new car, and the other two are goats.
Right.
Right? And you're asked to pick a door. And you pick door number three. And he says, and door number two is a goat. And he opens up and shows it. And then, do you stick with door three, or do you switch your door? And the answer is you switch the door, is that vastly improves your chances of getting a car. And, like, nobody gets that, I guess. But I just want to make sure you all know, in case you're ever on the game show or something, you switch.
I was watching this clip from some other game show, and I can't remember what it was, but the guy was breaking the game show by... Before the guy would finish the question, he would automatically click. Even if he didn't know what the finished thing was, and just guess. And on this game show, you weren't, like, penalized for a bad answer. So every time, even if it was, like, he would guess and he'd guess right, because he'd get, like, the context from, like, the first word or two, he was just, like, dominating in this game. Literally for 15 minutes, the two other people never got to answer a question because he was just like clicking immediately. And they're like, oh, You can see their frustration. That's awesome. Yeah, if nobody else can answer correctly, then there's no reason not to. The worst that will happen is a draw, right?
You can't play if you don't win? No, you can't win if you don't play.
Can't play if you can never play.
Right. Wait, I thought the only answer was not to play.
That's the only winning move.
Oh, okay. Well, now that we've come to that.
That's the Kobayashi move.
I thought that was how you win the Kobayashi move.
No, you cheat.
You cheat. You make up your own rules.
Which doesn't work as often as you would think in, like, actual, like, combat. You have to just talk to a person and say, wait, before we blow each other up.
I feel like you don't get that.
What if we change the rules?
Extra code too often.
I don't know. Making up your own rules seemed to work well for the last administration.
Hey,
Man, we just got political.
Anyway. So, this time, right around this time period is where I'm kind of sad we don't have Ryan around in easy contact anymore.
Why? You going to talk about baseball?
No, because, like, my entire city is all fired up because the Bengals are in a playoff.
Oh, right.
And it's, like, the first time in 30 years or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I can't really relate to any of it because I just don't care. I don't get it.
Okay.
But if we had Ryan on the show, he could bring that sports element into it for us. You know?
Oh.
And talk about how exciting it is and stuff like that.
We could just make it up and you never know the difference.
Kobayashi Maru it?
Yeah.
So who's the team?
I do know that the game on Sunday or something was supposed to be like a buff wild because people were on my internet and were like, what the fuck?
All I know, I didn't even realize what was going on until all of a sudden all the local news channel websites, like half of the articles on the front page are devoted to Bengals related stuff.
Changing the overtime rules?
Your city was on fire.
I did get, I mean, there was an awesome picture of dumbass looking like he just got rolled over by a truck.
Which dumbass?
The COVID boy.
Oh.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Yeah, put that guy.
It's like his helmet half on looking like he just got knocked out.
I guess in the new Aziz Ansari, he like gives it to Aaron Rodgers.
The coolest thing I saw associated with it is that Bootsy Collins did a new remake of the old Who Dey theme song.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is Bootsy from Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Oh. Today I learned.
I knew that already.
He still lives around Cincinnati, if I recall, right? But,
why
Isaac Hayes live in Memphis?
Well, where, I don't know. It's where he grew up. I guess he likes it here.
Why did Carl Perkins live in Jackson, Tennessee?
I like this chicken guy.
What?
The chicken guy?
What chicken guy? Where, who's a chicken guy named Carl Perkins?
The of the Perkins restaurant?
Perkins restaurant isn't even a chicken place.
What's up?
No.
Perkins is like a Denny's.
Yeah.
Wait, what's Denny's
at? A far inferior Denny's.
Denny's is like a diner.
Is it?
It's like a Denny's that serves pie, because it's big about pie.
Oh, like a
diner?
Like a Waffle House without the waffles.
Oh, no, I was going to say
No, Waffle House is like a Huddle House.
What's the corner? What's the corner one? What's the pie place here?
Pie place?
We have a pie place? Well, we have a bunch of pie
places. We have lots of pie places.
I mean, I know who's your mama, but...
He also knows the pie place.
What
I'm drawing a Land Rover driving through a man made of sand.
Sand Rover?
But he's not really made of sand. He covers himself in sand, so the Land Rover is actually hitting the guy.
Oh, no.
And exploding the sand body around him. Now, that's something that on my first day on the job of comic book artist, I would have been like, what the fuck? How do I do that? It's like the first comic I ever drew, Mike Barron said, you're going to draw this guy sawing another guy like straight down the middle with a chainsaw. And I'm like, well, I don't know what that looks like.
And then you had to look it up, and that scarred you for life.
I did look at, like,
chainsaw accidents.
No, I didn't look at chainsaw, but I did have to look at anatomy, because you have to look at, like, what somebody looks like, you know, like,
inside.
You have to look at, like, those body exhibits.
They have the internet?
No, that's the other thing. This was 1997. The internet was around, but it was a pain in the ass.
Ah, that was when the internet was, like, good.
It wasn't very good because I made a living making websites, so the website quality could not be that good.
That was kind of like Space Jam era.
Oh,
this is
so good.
I can't find the name of it, but the other interesting thing I learned, because the Bengals went down to Tennessee, is that apparently there's a...
Kind of steel?
Yeah, do they have to have a violin battle with the devil?
No, that would have been if they went to Georgia.
Oh, then what? Is it a dulcimer in Tennessee?
No, I found out that there's a restaurant in Tennessee that serves chili that's remarkably like Cincinnati-style chili. Except they serve it with a tamale. They're three-way.
Yeah, that's what? Quirky's?
I can't find the name of it. I don't remember it.
Every barbecue place does that for some reason. Every place that serves chili does it like that.
So wait, Cincinnati style is with peanuts and Fritos, right?
No, it's just meat sauce over spaghetti.
It's basically you remember the old Cholito from Taco Bell?
Yeah.
It's that.
Oh.
The inside of a Cholito is basically good. Yeah, I know.
It's cinnamon meat on spaghetti.
With cheese and oyster crackers.
Yeah, it's gross.
Certainly not gross, but it's not chili.
I would prefer it over regular chili. But I'm weird.
It's not really anything anybody outside the region would call chili.
I want every bean.
Oh, you can get beans in it, too.
You're in the chili for the beans?
Yeah, dude. I want all those stewed up beans.
Yeah, they just cook the beans separately and put the chili over top of it when you're making like a
gross.
Four-way or whatever, five-way.
That's stupid.
Well, it makes the chili much less starchy.
Look at Chili Gatekeeper over here.
Uh-oh, Chili Gate.
If I want meat sauce, I'm just going to have spaghetti, like with marinara.
I don't like meat sauce.
Is that what we're talking about?
But that's a completely different taste.
What's that?
It's a completely different taste. Marinara does not taste like.
Yeah, it tastes good.
Yeah, so does chili meat sauce.
Oh, it doesn't. It's
bad.
That's damn good, man. But, so we got Chili Gate happening here now.
You're a Chili Gate.
With our boy Sean.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah. Every once in a while, I get a craving for a DC chili dog.
Sean,
I prefer the Marvel.
A horrible.
More socially relevant characters.
Yeah. They're more realistic.
I don't know why Sean's trying to suppress alternative chilies.
Alternative chilies. We just stopped his whole story. What were you saying?
I was gonna grab a DC chili dog, but they're just bad. There's nothing super exciting. It's just like a steamed hot dog as you get, you know, like from a street vendor or whatever.
And then they put, quote unquote, chili sauce on it. But it doesn't contain any of the meat. It's like, just like the juice of chili that they have drizzled
on. Oh, that sounds terrible.
And I don't know if it's because, you know, like they just ladle in and they only get the top layer of it or whatever, or if there was just never any meat to begin with.
So it's just the grease that rose to the top?
Is that hot sauce?
It's kind of like that. But I mean, like, it ends up being kind of delicious. But you have to think very carefully, or you have to not think carefully at all about how it ended up that way. Because it really feels like it's like, oh, these are just the drainings of something else that they decided to put on a hot dog.
You know what? I think I just have, I don't think I like Cincinnati cuisine. I think that's a game lesson.
He doesn't like Cincinnati.
Because I had one of the worst hot dogs in Cincinnati ever.
Big Red Smokey?
How do you screw up a hot dog? It was like two little hot dogs?
What?
Huh?
Yeah.
You know who's really proud of their hot dogs? Iceland.
Really?
Like, go to Reykjavik and they're like, check out our hot dogs. And we're like, what? Really? So I had one. It's just a hot dog. I think they just so, they don't have stuff there. Like, check it out. We figured out what a hot dog was. But there's hot dog stands everywhere there.
Wow.
And they're just like, check out our hot dog. He's like, what? I guess they put mayonnaise on them sometimes.
Oh.
So wait, did you not have that before?
No, I didn't have it.
So then you didn't have an Iceland.
I had a hot dog. A hot dog's a hot dog.
No, you didn't try to eat it there, Wayne.
So give me an Icelandic hot dog, only with mustard, sport peppers, relish,
yeah,
a slice of tomato.
So wouldn't it be an ice dog?
So you didn't have
quite solid.
No. You didn't have their fixins then.
What fixins?
That's like you had a Chicago dog, but you had it with nothing but just.
I had a hot dog.
Right? Like, that's not getting a Chicago dog there.
He's right. The fixings are what make it regional.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the presentation and the preparation.
So you didn't have...
Growing up in Jackson, Tennessee, having a hot dog with mustard on it, I wasn't going, oh, I want a Chicago hot dog.
That's not a Chicago hot dog. That's not a Chicago hot dog.
Oh, God. Oh, so I invented a Jackson hot dog again.
Hot dog's just eating a hot dog with nothing else.
Like a slice of pickle. Yeah, slice of pickle. There's neon green relish.
Yeah.
Diced onions, sport peppers, mustard, sliced tomatoes, poppy seed buns.
When did it become difficult to eat shit?
Now, wait, what's a sport? A sport pepper?
It's like a... It's a thin banana pepper.
You're a thin
banana
pepper.
Was the hot dog you had lamb?
Oh, I don't know. Was it?
Well, it says there's supposed to be lamb.
Oh, it probably was. I just didn't notice.
So
they don't have much meat there that isn't lamb.
Lamb. My cat's lamb.
I mean, if it was lamb, it's all the worst parts of lamb, right?
That's like the only animal they grow there.
If you put the worst parts of any animal together in, like, intestinal casing, it will taste like a hot dog.
Okay, so it's supposed to have raw white onions and crispy fried onions.
Ooh.
I didn't see any of them like that.
Sweet brown mustard.
No!
Oh, what? This sounds delicious. And a meat sauce.
They were not fixing it. They just must didn't like
it. Wow. Capers, mustard, and herbs.
What?
I did not see those options.
That's like a hot dog stove.
I did not see it.
That sounds elevated. When you look it up, that's what all fish are.
Capers are fish, right?
No, they're just little pickled pea-like things.
Oh. Why not? I always thought they were like anchovies, like capers.
They're like pepper. They're like pepper kernels, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ah. I think we have a regional hot dog, which isn't really a hot dog. It's more of a sausage.
Do you put meat sauce on it?
No, the dog itself's actually different. It's called a Big Red Smokey.
Wow.
It's a skinless smoked sausage.
Skinless? How do you have a sausage that's skinless?
I think you pack it, cook it, and then take the skin off.
Smack it, flip it, rub it down.
Pretty so much. It's not skinless, it's skin.
Well,
it's skin! Oh no!
It's a skinned smoked sausage. Yeah.
Everything sounds so unappealing.
Well, when you say skinned, it almost sounds like that. Yeah, that's a weird word because that makes it sound like the skin's on. It's been. No? Yeah? I don't
know. Oh, skin always makes it sound like you've removed the skin.
Yeah. Huh. Anyway. So, but I've never had a Big Red Smoky with Skyline Chili on it, though.
Mm. I want the onions and the fried onions. That together sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah, like
yeah.
You don't think that if I had the option for onions, I mean fried onions, I wouldn't have put that on there?
Come on, man. It does sound pretty different.
Maybe they were trying to make it for you American style so that you'd eat it. So they made it really plain.
I just have that look about me.
They're like, oh, you're a plain boy.
Like, yeah, like you'd reject, you know, the...
Big plain boy.
Big plain boy! Oh, no. Are we still coming up with t-shirts we're never going to make? Because Big Plain Boy... Big Plain Boy is... definitely up there.
Okay, sure. We ought to actually make some of those shirts sometimes.
We should, but, I mean, yesterday I was like having a mini panic attack every 2 hours. I don't think I need more stuff to do.
Well, yeah. I mean, I could try working on them. It's just so super easy to actually sell shirts these days.
I know.
Big Plain Boy.
I mean, I have the store.
I keep seeing, like, embroidered hats on them. Like, you know, like a hat with, like, a cool embroidered design on them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I want to make those. But then I'm like, no, I don't. How do I get, how do I make it? Like, you have to have, like, a quarter, you know. Do that in the cloud or something. It's not like a digital embroider thing.
They're all done with computers, so I'm surprised that there isn't. Those embroidery things are all digitized.
Yeah.
It's not like there's an old lady in the back doing that by hand.
I bet it's digitized, but it's not like one-offs.
Yeah.
It's set up like a thing for you just have to look at it, but like, my friend used to have the embroidery machine, and, like, it wasn't...
I mean, if you can get one-off 3D printing things, then you can get a one-off hat.
Baker Square.
Baker Square?
Baker Square. That's the pie place in the suburbs.
Oh. What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I had to ask for help. I asked a friend. I used my ask a friend.
Oh boy! That
podcast where it's just how to be a millionaire rules, but everyone on the show when they try to figure out one thing is to have all the little extras. Phone a friend.
Maybe. Sounds complicated.
Yep.
Like work. Baker's Corner, I think that's also a brand of
where?
An Aldi's brand.
Baker's Square.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I think that's also an Aldi brand.
Square.
Move on back to Square. Back to Square. Anyway. So what else is new?
Nothing. I'm just incredibly overwhelmed.
Stressed out, you'd say.
A little bit.
I watched a Billy Wilder movie I hadn't seen yet.
Okay.
Called Kiss Me Stupid. Actually, sorry, it's Kiss Me, comma, Stupid.
it's a crucial comma.
Well, it is, really, I mean. I'm trying to think of how to say this without completely being contradictory of myself. I like Billy Wilder movies because I think they're well made, but they treat people terribly in them. Like,
how's that? What do you mean?
Well, like Irma LaDuce or The Apartment. Like, both of them, just they treat the lead, like the female leads, terribly. Same thing in this. And in fact, I don't get it. Okay, so it's got it's got Dean Martin playing himself in the movie.
Yeah.
But he's a creep, like, in this movie. A total, total creep.
Mm.
Trying to get with this guy's wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
For just a one-night stand while he's stuck in some small town, like, on his way from Vegas to Hollywood or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you sign on to a movie that portrays you as a creep?
People do it all the time now.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's just weird, man.
Do you think that what's his face from Dawson's Creek is actually like he is in that Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23?
Oh, I don't know. I never saw that.
What? Yeah, you did.
I saw like the first two episodes and didn't like the show, so I stopped watching it.
Why did that strike you so funny?
I don't remember him being on it at all.
Everything Greg says, like, is it all a lie?
Joe Jonas? Is that one of the Jonas Brothers?
Sure.
He's playing himself. He's playing a really weird version of himself on Righteous Gemstones. Right now, it's pretty plain.
That one I can guarantee I haven't seen. But even besides that, they've got, like, Ray Walston's in the movie, and he's like a psychotically jealous, I guess, husband, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the whole thing, not to spoil a movie that came out in 1965 for anybody, but the whole thing winds up with, like, people sleeping with people they aren't supposed to be sleeping with and stuff. Like, so the wife, it's complicated, because there's this whole switch thing involving Kim Novak and pretending to be Ray Walston's wife, because Ray Walston doesn't want to actually offer his wife up to Dean Martin. Because
so they do a Revenge of the Nerds rape?
Well, it's all willing, so I can't call it rape in the end.
He was willing it. Revenge of the Nerds, just kind of a misrepresentation. Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of like, yeah, like, I don't, it's a complicated movie, and the other weird thing is these are all, I mean, they are funny to an extent, but they're billed as straight up comedies, but they seem to be tackling some serious stuff.
And yeah. I
mean, like, and I don't know, again, you know, this is 60s stuff, so, context of the time period and all, but, it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I do like movies I've seen by them.
Did you like this movie?
Overall, yeah. But it was still like, I don't know, man. It was just people being bad kind of thing. You know?
Oh, my God. 6 weeks into filming it, Interstellar's was at 13 heart attacks.
13?
What?
It says 13 heart attacks.
Like at once or like per day?
I don't know. So they replaced him in all of his scenes that he was going to be in.
Oh, he was supposed to be in?
He had fewer heart attacks.
Who was he supposed to be playing in this movie?
Dean Martin.
He was supposed to be playing Dean Martin. Then they had to get Dean Martin to play Dean Martin instead.
Orville Spooner?
Oh, okay.
It was supposed to be Jack Lemmon. Who was Felicia Farr's real husband, and then he couldn't do it.
He was the only person who had more heart attacks than Peter Sellers.
Peter Sellers said yes, and then he had a bunch of heart attacks.
I guess, oh, that makes sense. I mean, I could see Jack Lemmon in the role. That would have made sense, too. But, wow. Strange movies. Anywho.
Nothing.
What's your problem?
Nothing.
That's right, nothing. Nothing,
Frank's abusing me.
I saw a movie I don't exactly know how to describe.
I don't care. What?
It's called Hangover in Death Valley.
What?
It's a comedy, horror comedy, that's got Michael Madsen, Steve Guttenberg, Patrick Bergen, and and Christopher Plummer.
Okay. All well-known comedians.
Well, they're all in, whatchamacallit, you know, more or less cameo roles.
Okay.
The main thing is these two guys who are a Blues Brothers tribute act, but they're Jewish, so they're the Jews Brothers.
Okay.
Wind up through being misbooked in some weird town in Arizona, or El Dorado? Arizona? That's like a racist cannibal town.
Racist cannibal town. Well,
not that they eat other racists. They are racist and cannibal.
But they probably would eat another racist.
Well, probably, yeah. And then there's also like a tour bus that breaks down there. And then, so there's a whole bunch of people. And then cannibals and music act. And I'm not really sure what you call that, but it's short. It's listed as 2019 if you can trust Amazon.
What's it called?
Hangover in Death Valley. Doesn't get rated very highly, and I can see why, but it's short, so it's, you know, kind of one of those things where bad in short clips isn't nearly as bad. An hour 13.
Sorry.
Yeah.
13.
Oh, 15. 13. This is about 15 seconds. Oh, well, okay. I did not personally time it, so. Maybe the extra 2 minutes is the director's cut? Why this movie would have a director's cut, I don't know.
This guy who directed has directed nothing before and was able to get all these weird-ass people in a movie.
Well, if that's the case, then I say kudos, because I would consider this a good first effort.
So a bunch of it's just archival footage.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Weird. It didn't come across like that. I mean, it didn't come across like it made a whole hell of a lot of sense either, but. So, anyway. That was a thing.
Yes.
And also. Oh,
weird.
Yeah, I found a late 80s movie that I thought was interesting.
Not the one you sent me?
Yeah. It was the one that, according to what I read on IMDb, the people that made it up until that point had only ever directed new wave music videos.
Okay. That can be read.
And this looks like it was shot on video, and the lighting's very, a lot of weird lighting choices and audio cues. Very weirdly put together. It was entertaining, I thought. It was, like, definitely a lower, like a B-movie kind of thing.
Are you going to tell anybody what it is?
Oh, it's called Night Feeder?
Night Feeder.
Right.
Night Feeder, Night Feeder.
It's a very visually interesting movie, I thought. And it's got a weird ending. Pretty weird ending. And then I followed that right up with a Clive Barker movie I hadn't seen, or at least a movie based on Clive Barker stuff I hadn't seen, called Underworld, which the main reason I wanted to watch that was because the band that did the soundtrack was called Fur, who, after this movie, changed their name to Underworld and became the Underworld we know. The electronic band. And the movie itself was... it had some visually interesting moments. It was made or directed by the same guy that did, I think, like a Rawhead Rex and stuff like that. So, and I don't know how much involvement Clive Barker actually had in the movie or anything. It wasn't like a... It was a, probably about on the level of Rawhead Rex, which I enjoy, but it's not like a super great movie or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like that with this, too. But it's, if you haven't seen it before and, you know, you just want something on while you're working or whatever, it's worth it. For sure.
You say so.
I said so. There was also a movie I watched that was not great, but it was interesting in that they succeeded in a lot of ways. It's called The Sleeper. And it's supposed to be a throwback to, like, early 80s slasher type stuff.
Sleeper.
And wait, what?
Pardon?
All right.
Okay.
Good job.
Well, I couldn't hear you over the train. Yeah. This is one of those ones where they actually try to make it, you know, like, look like the film stock and everything. Like, they try to make it look like it was made in 1981.
When was it?
I think it's like 2019, 2020.
Okay.
Something like that. 2012, actually. And they were mostly successful. They avoided some of the pitfalls, like they didn't do any scenes with, like, actual street scenes with cars driving by and stuff. So, like, they didn't screw it up that way. Was line dancing a thing in 1981?
Line dancing? No.
Because I seem to recall it as being more of a 90s thing.
Yes.
Line dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably existed in country bars.
But if it didn't existed in like a...
had a crossover hit like it was in the 90s.
I mean, Urban Cowboy was big.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But would they have done line dancing in like a, you know, like a new wave type of place or whatever? Or some place that would be playing like, you know, rap at the time or whatever.
No. Well,
in 1980?
In 1980. Yeah. The movie is supposed to be in 81. Yeah.
Wait, what kind of club is it?
Well, it's like a college bar, but, you know, the kind of music they were playing that you'd hear in the background and stuff was sounded like new wave and rap and stuff.
Was it like Electric Slide kind of line dancing?
Sort of. I mean, it looked like line dancing with a few disco moves thrown in. I just don't know if that was a thing. That kind of, like, to me, I'm like, I don't remember that until, like, the 90s, you know? But, and, like, the hair wasn't quite right. And the way, like, it was close. It was, like, people who never actually saw the 80s.
Probably was people who never saw the 80s.
It was more of an 80s impression than an actual 80s period piece. But as far as stuff like that goes, I mean, it was pretty darn close. The movie itself reminded me of... was it the Toolbox Murders that had that guy that was just running around without a mask or anything? Like, not even really being stealthy?
I think he had a mask in Toolbox Murder.
Which one was it from right around that time period that was, like... It was, oh, like the anti-slasher.
That was the gross one. That was the Driller Killer?
That might be it, yeah. Where, like, you saw him... There was no, like, suspense or anything. You saw him the whole time, his face and everything?
Just a greasy dude with a mustache.
Yeah, and he wasn't even really all that, like, sneaky. He would just walk around and then kill people. Like, yeah. This reminded me of that in their, like, approach to the story.
Yeah.
And it's your typical, you know, sorority girls get taken out one by one by a crazy guy. So, like, nothing real exciting, but for what it was, I thought it was mostly successful and kind of interesting. Not as stylish as, like, House of the Devil, as far as being, like, throwback movie kind of thing. But, yeah. Again, just something to watch if you want to put something on while you're working. Mostly.
What, The Sleeper?
The Sleeper. Yeah. When he kills people, he goes, shh, go to sleep.
Does he?
Something like that.
Is it Mike?
It's me.
It's Mike.
I do this.
Sleep. Mike.
Mike.
And the last thing I wanted to watch is just because Amazon was pushing it real hard, I decided to go ahead and watch the newer, I'm always going to say this wrong, I think. Now that I'm trying to say it, I know I'm going to say it wrong. Evangelion movies?
Yes.
I think yes. I said that all right?
Sure, yes.
I don't know. Shit.
But anyway, I like... And they were mostly pretty good, but again, like I sort of... I've only got vague memories of watching the 90s ones back on video cassette, you know, back then. And I remember... The thing I did remember was being kind of confused by it by the end. And I sort of wound up in the same place with the new ones, where I just... I'm not sure I quite understood what was going on there at the end.
Catharsis.
Okay. Doesn't really tell me anything. Like, I just don't know... It kind of it just turned into a trippy representational sort of thing that I wasn't sure I was getting.
They get to live the life that they've always got as children and not being child soldiers. And more to the point, like, Shinji finds meaning in just being a person and not being wish fulfillment, like, I have to fight to prove myself special. Thing. It's like ultimately he doesn't need this anime world. It's kind of a rejection of that.
So that's why they switched to the actual city shot at the end?
Yep. That's actually where the creator grew up.
And then, okay, so that ties in with, like, towards the end where it starts breaking down into being just, like, stills and pencil shots and stuff, right?
Yep.
Like it was deconstructing itself?
Yep, yes.
Okay.
Because it was kind of going back in time there, right? So like, well, when Shinji says, oh, you know, like, we're going to create a world without Evangelions, like, what he's meaning is, but that also means then that they're not going to make a cartoon about it, right?
Right.
And he gets to be happy.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Also, he's a clone.
Say what?
Also, he's a clone.
Oh, okay.
And you're a clone, too.
Clone!
We're all clones?
We're all clones.
Well, wait a minute. Wasn't Ray also... I mean, Ray already was a clone, right?
Ray's many clones, yeah.
He's all the clones.
And I guess the redhead was clones, too? Or blonde?
Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka.
She was? Well, I mean, she's the same Asuka we've always known. But that was a clone.
Yeah, right.
But she was part of a batch of clones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Shinji is a new clone. Rei 3 is a new clone. But Asuka's just like an air clone.
Wait, Shinji was a clone?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
That's why they find him in the coffin on the thingy at the beginning, and then he's still young, and they're all older.
Yeah, but they said they recovered him from the capsule in the Model 1.
Mm-hmm.
Or even
but that was stabbed through, right, with a spear? So,
yeah.
So Nerve brought online this Shinji clone and put it back in a capsule in Unit 1 in order, because Shinji's soul was still in that capsule, or still in the LCL fluid, like floating around in there. So that's what reconstituted all of his memories. That's why he knows who he is and all that stuff and what happened. But he doesn't have any memories after that event when he got smashed this year.
This is confusing.
Yup.
And Rei is still in there, right? Because they didn't put Rei's clone inside of that because Gendo needed Rei to not know all of that stuff.
So, I figured that part out because, you know, they reintroduce the first Rei, RRA, whatever. Like, as her spirit or whatever towards the end. So I got that, but I didn't get the... I didn't even pick up on Shinji being a clone.
Duh.
Yeah, apparently. This was even more complicated than I knew.
I mean, that's why Matsuko?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Is that right? That doesn't sound right.
No.
Which character?
Matsuko, the woman who...
Hunter?
No, the...
Masato?
Masato?
Yeah.
That's why Masato doesn't want anything to do with him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, normally she'd be super... go into caretaker mode for Shinji, but that she's like... to her, this is just a weird copy that Nerf did something crazy with, and she doesn't want to feel.
See, I was trying to figure out why, when she was the one that encouraged Shinji to do the thing that caused the third impact,
right?
Like, why she was so pissed at him when she got him back.
I think she also feels guilty.
Yeah, I think it feels, like, I think that's mainly guilt. Like, she just feels like she can't face the thing that she caused, so... she's taking it out on that person.
But if it were Shinji, Shinji, I don't think she would, right? Like she would have done it.
I feel like she might have come around quicker.
Yeah.
But she'd still be an asshole for a little while.
What was the first and 13th angel kid's name? Yuli?
Kari?
What was his name? It was something like Gully or something.
Kari.
Yeah, whatever, him. Was that him and Ray on the train platform at the end?
Yeah, yes.
Okay. Because I thought, I was trying to figure this out because I thought he was supposed to be some sort of like celestial being.
Yeah. I mean, we're all celestial beings, right? We're all villain.
And what was the deal with the girl with the glasses and big boobs, as she described herself? They called her Mary Iscariot?
Yeah, she's his mom.
But she was his girlfriend at the end.
Yeah.
That's weird.
He wants to fuck his mom.
Okay. But wait, she wasn't his mom because his mom looked different.
Because Ray's also his mom.
Yeah.
Because I thought his mom's spirit was trapped in the other machine.
No, you see, this is the thing. His mom's spirit is trapped in O1. And Ray's spirit from there, Ray, who is a clone of his mom, is also trapped in O1 at this point.
Right.
But do you remember from the first one how the Magi were made after the three aspects of Mitsuko's mother? The mother, the woman, and the scientist?
It's been a long, you're talking about the first series of the 90s one?
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that. I've only got, like, really vague impressions of it now.
See, these movies are kind of essential to the original ones.
Yeah.
Even if they say it's a reboot, it's
really
essentially not a reboot at all. It is a continuation.
Oh. Well, maybe I'll have to dig up my old videotapes of the old one. I don't know.
At the end of the original show, Shinji's like, okay, let's try again. And then we get to see them try again, and it doesn't start off so happy for them.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. Karu talks about how Shinji's name is written in the Book of Light, and so at the end, he's always there.
Right.
They're doing this loop over and over and over again.
Yeah. Because, here's the other thing about Shinji Plum. That little coffin he's in, when they retrieve him, on the moon they show that there's like, a fuck ton of those.
A whole bunch of coffins.
Yeah, that Haru guy keeps coming out of them, or whatever.
Yeah, but I think Shinji's also coming out of those, yeah.
Hey,
This is weird.
Mm-hmm. It's a visually really good-looking movie. It's also a very strange story all the way through.
Mike, have you ever read the Bible?
Is it the Bible?
It's very Christian-based.
Yeah.
And which makes me wonder why I've never really heard any kind of like, you know, Christian groups get angry about it or anything.
Because they can barely read their own Bible and understand it. Instead of being another Bible that's as complicated or more complicated emotionally.
Because, yeah, it's just everything from the... like when the creatures get eliminated, the angels, like the explosion leaves a cross shape.
Yeah.
There are a lot of cross imagery used for objects and stuff in the movie.
It's because the Christians came to Japan and tried to convert them. And Japan was like, fuck that.
And then we drop bombs on them.
Yeah.
Which is what the crosses are.
A lot of generational pain.
So, anyway, it was an interesting experience watching them.
Have you ever seen Devil Man?
Devil Man!
I haven't seen
Devil Man! Devil Man's ending is quite similar to Evangelion's ending. And pretty much that was big, it's a big homage to that show. Except for us.
They're all clones?
All in one and one are all.
Alright then. I was gonna say. Anyway, I binge watched those, so I got to see them all the way through at once.
That's too much. It's a lot. Well, I did them over like 2 or 3 weeks, and I was like, that was a good amount. I did like a month.
I mean, I didn't do them all on the same day, but you know, I did them over like 2 days, so it was very head stuffing. You know, I was bleeding a little bit from the ears and nose.
I had to go back because that first one came out like 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, the first one was like 2007, I think.
Yeah, and then I was like, what happened? Because then I was like, okay, I'm not going to watch these until they're all done. And then I became a grown up with a child in a house, and I was just a small boy, which actually is very good thematically watching those movies. Because he also gets to grow up and live his life and be happy finally. So it's kind of awesome, but also depressing.
Yeah, that stuff always gets me.
But I was happy to see Cindy get to be a happy boy and, the director get to be a happy person and deal with his depression.
Did you ever watch, Steven Universe Future?
Yes. No.
So good, you need to watch
that. That's the after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth doing. Along those lines.
I've never seen any of that show. Is it? Like.
It is S tier.
Yep.
Is required watching.
Huh.
That's when you're like halfway through it, you're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah. It is the slowest build up of a show I think I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I've never known much about it. For whatever reason, I was under the impression that it was sort of like kind of kid stuff, like My Little Pony.
Yeah, that's what I
like.
Yeah.
Kind of kid stuff with some overall like more intelligent stuff thrown in, but
it's emotionally intelligent.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is that the one the kid's got like a blue shirt with a yellow star?
Red shirt with a yellow star, but yes.
Okay.
You dumbass.
Sounds like colorblind.
I was just trying to place it visually in my head. That's all. Y'all don't have to pile on me now.
Sounds like you're...
Just... Pile on! Woo!
I mean... You know.
What the fuck?
There's no stupid questions, just stupid assholes who pile on people who ask them.
Aww.
You know who gets piled on? Cindy.
This is true.
He does. I'm going to recommend if you watch those movies, watch the sub version in the original language.
Yes.
Or at least don't watch the English ones, because Shinji in that comes with his, I mean, he's just the whiniest, most annoying. Like, and I watched part of it subbed, because I could. And he's not like that in the Japanese version. Or at least he doesn't come across quite that, you know?
There's an awful lot in that show of people saying one thing and feeling another. And you really kind of miss a lot of that with the inflection if you're watching the dub. So yeah, the sub is kind of
important. Which I might go back and watch them all through that way again after I've
had
time and distance.
They're pretty decent.
I mean, I like the rest of the voice cast in the American ones, but for whatever reason, Shinji just grated on my nerves.
I mean, people say that when I can't.
Yeah.
So that's not a
Yeah, he was there. But, I mean, that's a steal. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's a Luke Skywalker first movie. Yeah.
Yeah, very much. But I wanted to go back. Like,
what the fuck? That is not what he sounds like in that movie.
He just sounds all squawky.
It's a chicken?
When he's complaining about going to the Hoffman station to pick up some power.
Exactly.
Very whiny.
I want to go to Hoffman station.
He just sounds very squawky and whingy, you know? Like.
And those, his friends, it's good he got out of there, because now that I've seen Boba Fett, his friends are still there.
Yeah.
He would have been a loser.
Riding Vespas. No, they don't even have Vespas.
They're not riding Vespas.
They're just hanging out.
Drinking away in a cantina.
Getting beat up by bikers.
That's true.
But aren't they still shooting Womp Rats?
Womp Rats? Maybe. Well, they don't seem like they are. They're just showing up there at the Womp Rats.
I think Wormy was the only one Bullseye in the Womp Rats. They were just sitting around looking at Luke doing it, going, this guy's a homicidal maniac. Just keep shooting just rats. These rats don't do anything to
them. Well, you know those, the rats are like 80 feet tall and have gigantic targets on their chest.
They're just born that way. It's a bummer of a birthmark.
Well, yeah.
I shot them. What was that game? What was the
sewer shark?
The one that starts off where you fly.
Recharge, coming up.
You fly in that trench.
Was that? It was like for the N64.
I think it was the. I played it on my computer.
Oh wow! Oh, like X-Wing.
Sewer shark.
Past X-Wing. It was more like on rails, kind of.
Sewer shark.
Oh, that would have been one of those older LucasArts ones then. I don't remember the title, but I think I know the one you're talking about.
Is that the one with the asteroid field you had to get through also?
That's awesome.
Sewer shark.
Now, to be fair to Mike, Sewer Shark was a pretty intense game.
It was.
I finished it.
I never finished that game.
You got to the beach?
Yeah, to the end, yeah.
Damn.
What happens at the end of that game?
I don't remember.
Super Shark?
Is it Evangelion or is it Evangelion?
They say, in the English dub, they say Evangelion.
Yeah, because that's how I grew up, but like, I don't know if the word is evangelist. Like,
yeah, if it's a Neo Genesis Evangelion, then...
So,
let me be. Just like the show, it's all about your interpretation.
Except it's not. There's a right answer.
So, in the 90s, was it Evangelion? Because that's the way I always thought I was supposed to be said, and then when I was watching these new ones, I'm like, oh, I'm saying it wrong.
In the 90s, it was anime or anime
or Japanime.
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 So however
Japanimation.
I'm pretty sure however you want to say it is the right way.
Okay, so it's just a Evangel ion.
Yes.
Very well.
That's a stupid cartoon.
That's the German way.
Avunch. Anyway. So yeah. Guess that's about our time.
Is this a therapy session?
Feels like it sometimes.
Looking at the clock, guess we're about done today.
I'm looking at my book of notes that I've made of the show so far, and I think we've made progress. So,
which episode is this?
Alright.
We've made, yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Which episode? It's like 8:15 or something.
It's 8:51.
8:51.
Jesus.
Week 851.
Week. So, yeah, it's not even a real good tally.
This just tells how long we've been at it. I mean, we've missed shows here and there, but I didn't want to confuse time frame by doing, like, actual numbers. I prefer to present the amount of time we've spent on it. That's what I'm trying to say.
You want to get maximum depression out of it.
Well,
number of my date then?
Well, at first, it wasn't... Okay, so I switched from... Originally, I had a show number and a date on the titles.
Someone was asking me about where the episodes are. Who was it? You? Oh, yeah. Where are the episodes? He wanted to know.
Which episodes?
The old episodes.
Oh, they get archived, like, every year. I go back 5 years, but past 5 years, they get archived.
Okay. So if you wanted to listen to old ones, then you're... Just out of luck.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to write if you need something specific. I just,
he's manually sending these to people.
Well, sometimes I put them, sometimes people have written me and I put them back up.
He re-records them so they're better.
He's like, oh, I remember what we were talking about.
Special edition.
Yeah, it's George Lucas. You should see, or actually, you should hear who I hired to be you.
Oh, man, I hope it's somebody good.
George went.
George Wendt?
He alive?
Yeah, believe it or not.
He doesn't need to be.
What?
Wow.
That's kind of harsh.
That is
such
a low-key shade at George Wendt.
It's a little harsh, I think. Anyway. No, but people have written asking me about the archive shows, and I've re-uploaded the originals. Like, if they needed specific episodes for some reason. But it's just that, you know, I mean, we're talking, what is this now, 15-something years? No, shit, dude, this year will be 17 years.
Can you send me the first good one?
Oh.
Yeah, George Wendt is still alive.
I told you that. Why did you not believe me?
I think you said it, son. He screamed it.
Right. So, anyway. Any final thoughts? Last words? Particularly last words in the case of Mike?
Anything you want to work on for next week?
Are we workshopping stuff? Like ahead of time?
Start therapy.
Oh, right. Well, honestly, it is kind of therapy for me. I mean, keeps me feel like I'm not completely working in a vacuum in my life.
Laughter is the best therapy. Which is why a show does not look funny.
Yeah.
I go see my own therapist. Where I laugh.
Oh, therapy was the best therapy.
Therapy is the best therapy. It's true.
I mean, therapy. What you gonna do?
You know, sucks. COVID therapy.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still teletherapy, right? Like,
yeah, it's sort of not the same in a weird way.
I guess that's, I mean, because it's not like they have to give you shots or anything.
Like, yeah, but there's like a person-to-personal feel, I feel like, sometimes that you kind of need the...
How is the therapist going to know if I'm snowing it? Like, they can't see my face.
I could be lying about everything, yeah.
So you might as well just take your personal problems to Twitter, then, is what you're saying. Or not at all. So. Does anybody have anything in stores this week?
Hey, Mom.
Yeah!
Well, that's not cool, man. That's not cool at all.
I don't have anything here.
Okay. I'm just quickly scrolling through the list while I was waiting for people to answer to see if I saw anything that looked familiar. Which is what I'm still doing here now. Yeah. Oh, apparently Saga came back this week.
Where'd it go?
I don't know. It disappeared for a few years, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I read the first trade of that. And I thought, I'll wait for it to finish, and it never finished.
Still going on.
Still not finished. Did, speaking of not finished, did what's-his-name ever put out that last book in this trilogy?
No.
Name of the Wind?
Say what?
Name of the Wind?
Never.
Yeah, that one.
Hasn't happened.
Okay, I was just wondering.
The TV show.
It is?
Something to do with the books.
I am out of touch. Oh, that, okay, sorry. I wanted to explain something I'm reading right now.
What are you reading?
Because it's funny because I'm so behind on the Marvel stuff that I, you know, there's things that have happened that I don't know what's going on, you know? And so I got this book in with my batch of just books I got from eBay last year. And it's a kind of a, it's called the Owner's Manual for the Marvel Universe Vehicles. And it's presented like a little tiny Haynes manual.
You say the Cocker Spaniel or what?
I can't tell if you really can't hear me if you're just trying to be funny. It's very dry either way.
I don't know. What did you say?
It's called the Owner's Manual.
I'm with you again. Yes.
And it's presented like a little Haynes manual, you know? And it's kind of like the Marvel Universe Handbook, but just for vehicles.
And jets and stuff like that in there.
Yeah, like the hover, you know, the helicarriers and the and it's even got like Spidey's buggy and stuff like that.
It can climb walls.
Apparently. So I was reading through that because I thought it would be funny, you know. And it's, I guess it was a loot crate thing. But anyway, so they've got some of the stuff in there where like characters are talking about the vehicles, but they're making references to some of the newer movie stuff, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, you know. But it's kind of funny.
You can fix that.
Oh, I can eventually, one of these days. So anyway, I was sort of a sidetrack. From Oni Press this week, the Aquacorn Cove graphic novel.
The what?
Aquacorn Cove. It's by the same lady that does the T-Dragon Society stuff. I'm blanking, as I normally do on names. Katie O'Neill. Sorry. It's very much in the style of her T-Dragon stuff, and it's just a really nice story. This girl comes and stays with her grandparents, I think, and finds a bunch of water-based unicorns with wings. Aquacorns?
Aquacorn, okay.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
And, anyway, and she, and, you know, they help her work through some issues she's having, like, things that have happened.
You made a gentleman.
Kind of like therapy, is what I mean to say. So, and then it turns out that they're all clones and they just start over again.
Whoa!
Spoilers!
Yep.
This sounds like something else you guys were talking about.
The Matrix?
Whoa!
The Matrix is super imaginary.
Is it good?
I liked it. But it is totally the new movies.
That's awesome. I like the movies.
Okay, then. So you can reach us at crankcast.com, crankcast@gmail.com, Mike's website is ihatemike.com. You can find Battlepug at battlepug.com. There's art stuff at cadencecomicart.com. Sean's at andthankyouforflying.com. Check the Twitters and the Facebooks and the whatever, Instagrams. And
the Hickman and the Hopkins.
And I don't know, do you guys TikTok till you drop?
No.
I don't know how. Mike's the only guy who knows what TikTok is. And we just watch the videos he sends us.
There you go.
Begrudging.
How about the WhatsApps? Do you WhatsApps?
No. I'm not in China.
Well, that's big over here, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you guys Twitch?
I mean,
I'm twitching a little bit right now, but anyway. So have a good weekend. Take care. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.